This is Fel Farron.
And I am driving around because I'm not going home quite yet. I've got to go to a worship team production meeting team something at church tonight, and so I'm taking off a little early because I was in early breakfast with a friend, and I'm going to get this recorded and then wander over to the church, see if they need any help getting anything set up, maybe do some editing before 6 o'clock, and then that way when 6 o'clock rolls around, we'll be ready to go. So, and possibly get this uploaded before the 6 o'clock meeting. We'll see. We'll see. All is well. It's been a good week at work. I'm always delighted when I'm recording the podcast because I know it's Thursdays. This is episode 642, I think. I'm not going to talk about ivermectin today. I decided not talking about ivermectin today. Although it's really interesting because I had breakfast with a friend. And he's big on vaccines, which is fine. I'm not against the vaccines. I do think that they're, you know, a really astounding medical scientific achievement. I just don't think they're the only thing. And we had a really good conversation about vaccines, and, you know, we got to the place where we absolutely agreed that it's not going to be the vaccines alone that get us out of this. And it's potentially not going to be ivermectin alone that's going to get it out of this, but we need to use whatever tools are in our toolkits. But in the process of, you know, talking about that, he was very concerned because ivermectin supposedly causes liver damage. And so I thought, what? What? So I went and looked it up, you know, and, you know, there's several references that you find where it says ivermectin does not cause liver damage, you know, in very reputable websites, you know, that it's only mild. And then you find, like, the one report. In 2006, after ivermectin had existed for almost 30 years, in 2006, they discovered one lady that apparently ivermectin led to her liver damage. Oh, man. You know, so there is a really remote chance. It's just so fascinating, and it's just so hard now to know what is true. And we talked about that this morning. I talked about that with my friend, that it's just so hard now because everybody has an agenda. And worse than that, it seems like since we are just in this attention economy, that people will just say whatever gets attention. And yeah. And I think, again, it all comes down to the fact that we have lost our moral code. We have lost the idea of treating others with kindness. We have lost the idea of love your neighbor. Because if you loved your neighbor, you would do your best to relate information that is true, as opposed to just relating things that you think prove whatever point you're trying to prove. So this is a fascinating time. It's just a fascinating time. But it's going to be really interesting. I am going into the bowels of the beast tomorrow. I have a friend, and his wife, he's in the hospital. He's on a ventilator, and his wife has been going down every day to see him because he's able to have visitors even though he's on the vent. So she has a birthday party that she's getting together for one of their daughters tomorrow. And she really wanted to focus on that, but she didn't want her husband to not have any visitors tomorrow. So she called me up. She asked me, would I be willing to go down and see him? And I said, yes, absolutely. Yes, 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 yes. So I'm going down to see him tomorrow, going into the hospital. My wife kind of gave me this look like, you're doing what? I said, sweetie, it'll be fine. I'm on ivermectin. I'm not going to get sick. Which is interesting because my vaccine friend had been doing some research on ivermectin, and supposedly he quoted something from some study that was done in the United States where they came out and said, yes, absolutely, ivermectin is really good in the initial stages. It's very effective. I hadn't heard of this study yet, but it's not very good once you get serious COVID. And I didn't hear what my friend was saying at first, but that is true. Because once you get into that serious can't breathe stage, you're actually in an inflammation stage at that point. So ivermectin can help a little bit with that, but you really need to be on corticosteroids. And so, you know, that is true. Ivermectin is not as good once you're on the ventilator and once you're in the hospital with serious, serious COVID symptoms. It still helps a little, but you really do need other things to kick in at that point. So, you know, hey, but ivermectin can help you from getting to that point. So I don't think, you know, there's really much that can help at that point that unless you've got something that is a really serious anti-inflammatory, like a steroid. So it's all very, very interesting. All very interesting. But what that means is I am going into the bowels of the beast tomorrow. So, which is just fine. So just go sit with my friend. They had him fairly heavily sedated. And they were trying to wean him off the sedation. I don't know if he will be aware of anything tomorrow, but, you know, I will at least go sit with him and read him Psalms and pray over him. And I will visit my friend. So, in all of my prayers, you know, for my friend, I have obviously prayed whatever his wife would like me to pray about all those things. But I've been praying over my friend that God's wonder will be expressed in him. That God's, the astonishment, I've prayed astonishment over him. And I have been praying what my pastor, who happens to be my son-in-law, was talking about us praying on Sunday. And that is to pray that God will unlock the heavens. Because we have those keys that have been given to us because we are the righteousness of God in Christ and we are his children. And when we pray, we can unlock heaven. And so we've been praying as well that God would unlock heaven and that would bless my friend and restore him. So it'll be a good day tomorrow. There'll be one aspect of the weekend that'll be a little exciting as well. Right now, everything was great at work this week. We got some good things accomplished. It was a little distracting because my friend is a friend I have at work, and his absence is very much felt. You know, but that's okay. We got through the things that we needed to get through this week. So we will leave that there. So yeah, good week at work. We got through a bunch of stuff we needed to get through. The writing is going fine on book 15. I'm just puttering along. I expect that Friday is just going to be a blowout for writing. I don't know that I'm going to get any writing done on Friday. Cause I've got the costumes in the morning and grocery shopping and traveling around. And then I got up. I am going to go change before I go down to the hospital. My friend's wife left that up to me, but you know, I think, because tomorrow is National Tattoo Day. It is a bodysuit with a loincloth. I, you know, since I don't really, really know these people, they might find it hysterical if I'm on, you know, the intensive care unit just wearing that, but so maybe we'll not do that. But I'm going to try to get down to see him noonish or so, because he can have visitors like 8:30 to 2 and then like 4 to something. So I'm going to try to get in there and get that done. He's only allowed to have one visitor a day, one patient representative, it's called. So I'm going to go down and fill that role tomorrow, about noonish, you know, probably read for a while, pray with him, and then, you know, head back home. I've got a chat scheduled with a friend about 3 that should go about an hour and a half, and then I'm taking the grandkids and we're going and doing something. We're not really sure exactly what we're doing, but Lynette is going to have a farkle party at the house. Farkle, F-A-R-K-L-E. It's funny. Haven't had a farkle party with the ladies at the house in a really long time, so Lynette wants to do that. So I'm taking the grandkids, and we are vacating the premises. And we're going to go, I don't know, we'll play Minecraft, or we'll do something. We'll figure something out. And so yesterday, it's pretty much, or tomorrow, it's going to be pretty much just going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, but that's okay. So that means that probably not much writing tomorrow, so I may be behind schedules. I do have about 2,000 words in the bank that I was able to store up before I started this writing sprint, so I may have to just use those tomorrow, which is okay too. All is well. All is well. God is good. God is gracious. One of the things that my friend and I's wife agreed together about today, well, I wrote to her and she said amen, let's put it that way, is that we thank him for this day and we thank him for every moment of this day. And we ask that he would grant us his grace to move forward within these moments of this day in the very center of his love. And, you know, that's what we've got to do. We've just got to keep ourselves in the center of his love throughout each moment of each day and make sure that we are manifesting that love in all of the groups of the, in all of the fruits of the Spirit. And we can find our place and our rest in him then. For whatever happens, for whatever develops, we find our rest in him. So it's good. It's good. So costumes are going fine. It's National Tattoo Day tomorrow and Saturday. That'll be fun. I am... This is going to be interesting because on Saturday, my normal restaurant that I go to, Gailey's Breakfast Cafe, is shut down. It got shut down for 2 weeks. I didn't realize that, and we got there last Saturday, and it was shut down, which typically what happens when that happens is it's because one of their people has come down with COVID. So, come down with COVID. That was one of the interesting things that my friend was talking about today, because he was talking about the fact that, you know, the people who aren't vaccinated, they're going around, they're spreading it, and they don't even know it. And the problem is, with Delta variant, you can be fully vaccinated, and it looks like possibly you're still spreading Delta variant. It's just like, ah, man, goodness. So, but usually what happens when Gailey's shuts down is it's because they've had an employee that's come down with COVID and there might have been some exposure in the restaurant, so they just shut down the restaurant for 2 weeks. So they're shut down. So we're going to go to a new restaurant. And I'm going to be wearing just basically combat boots and a bodysuit and a loincloth. So this will be fun. And a hat. I have a hat. And gloves. So this will be fun because when I come waltzing into that restaurant, those poor people are never, they're not going to have any context for me. So I'm sure there will be some looks, but you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Because I'll chat them up and we'll be fine. So that's on Saturday morning. So it'll be cute. And then I think Saturday at noon, there's a prayer vigil near the hospital for my friend. I'm going to try to swing by and get that done. And, you know, we'll just keep moving forward one step at a time. Okay, so I had promised, well, kind of told myself that I wasn't talking about ivermectin. So I do have some notes on something else besides ivermectin, or COVID. And as you know, I'm always interested when I have a situation where someone comes at the whole flesh versus spirit things from a neurological standpoint. That, you know, something I've been talking about based on the Bible, I should add, something I have been talking about based on the Bible, from a spiritual perspective, you actually see that people are rehearsing that same thing, but from a quote-unquote scientific perspective. And I put quote-unquote anymore because honestly, our scientific perspectives are struggling at this point because you can have people saying, well, this is science, and it's not really science once you dig underneath it all. And, you know, you have people saying, that study's no good, and then you look and it is good, and then you say, this study is good, and then you go and look at the underlying data and the study is not good. And, I mean, it's just, wow. Wow. We were going pretty good there for a while with the whole enlightenment and the science stuff, and then we decided we didn't need a moral code. So that's neither here nor there. Okay, moving on. So, the name of this article, when I saw the name of the article, I thought, oh, well, I bet this has something to do with flesh and spirit. The name of the article was Neuroscience, open parenthesis, and a tiny dose of emotional intelligence reveals the simple trick to break nearly any bad habit, willpower not required. I thought, well, okay, let's see what this person has to say. So they start off talking about the fact that they're going to have a meal. And they say, yep, nice piece of grilled salmon, brown rice, salad with no dressing. I felt full, not stuffed, but satisfied. Better yet, I felt good about having eaten a healthy meal. Then ice cream called me. Okay, ice cream calls. Ice cream! Okay. He says, okay, hold that thought. He said, think you make a lot of decisions? You do, but not as many as you think. Research shows that approximately 40% of the things we do on a daily basis, approximately 40% of the things that we do on a daily basis aren't decision-based, they're habits. So it's just what we're used to doing. And some are bad habits. And he said, that doesn't make sense at first glance. But then he quotes Wendy Wood, the author of Good Habits, Bad Habits. And Wendy Wood, the author of Good Habits, Bad Habits, says, we find patterns of behavior that allow us to reach goals. We repeat what works, and when actions are repeatable in a stable context, we form association between cues and responses. So back to the article now. So why do we form habits that don't help us reach our goals? My goal is to maintain a healthy weight, and eating ice cream is a far cry, and eating ice cream is a far from supportive pattern of behavior. Because neuroscience, the way our brains are made, often works against us. And he gives a thanks to Eric Barker for the underlying science. So I ask myself, should I have some ice cream? And my prefrontal cortex, the brain region responsible for planning, decision-making, supporting goal-oriented behaviors, would answer, nope, your goal is to eat healthy. Great, except my orbitofrontal cortex, the brain region responsible for emotion and reward in decision-making, would answer, dude, you absolutely should. Ice cream is awesome. You love it. It makes you happy. Besides, you can always burn off the calories by working out a little extra tomorrow. And he says in his words, now I'm screwed. And he said the reason that he is because My prefrontal cortex is a logical, rational kind of guy, and he's fairly quiet and subdued. My orbital frontal cortex, he's a yeller. He's insistent. He loves to get his way, and he loves to create bad habits. And when I read that, I think, that sounds like flesh to me. Or as Woods explains in neuroscientific terms, when our intentional mind is engaged, we act in ways that meet an outcome we desire, and typically we are aware of our intentions. However, when the habitual mind is engaged, our habits function largely outside of awareness. We can't easily articulate how we do our habits or why we do them. Our minds don't always integrate in the best possible ways. In short, give my orbital frontal cortex a chance and I'll quickly establish some bad habits. I do things reflexively, almost without thinking. If I do manage to think, wait, should I really have some ice cream? That little voice in my head gets drowned out by my orbital frontal cortex and the force of habit. Okay, he says, yep, I'm screwed. Now my goal isn't to achieve something positive by repeating what works. My goal is just to satisfy my habit of eating ice cream, so I do without really thinking. Because if I thought about it, I wouldn't be likely to do it. As Wood said, habits allow us to focus on other things. Willpower is a limited resource, and when it runs out, you fall back on habits. So how do you break the cycle? So the answer is simple yet difficult. You have to force yourself to think, not before, but during. So this is a nice little interesting twist on it, in my context, what I would say is, well, you've got flesh and spirit. And when you feel that flesh going, you should get that, you should get that, you should get that, you know, you can slow yourself down and say, what lie is the flesh telling me right now? Oh, it'll be so good. It'll be so good. It'll be so good. You know, and then you can say, will it really? And what's going to be the afterthoughts and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this approach is to say, okay, go ahead and have the ice cream. Because you don't necessarily try to stop yourself from initially having the ice cream. You have the ice cream, but then you think about your experience while you're having the ice cream. So he says, the key is to reflect upon the actual benefits derived from a habit. For me, ice cream tastes good. Ice cream, well, that's pretty much the list. It tastes good. But when I'm eating it, I don't feel healthier. I don't feel better when I'm finished. In fact, I feel worse. Maybe not physically, but definitely emotionally. So there's one upside, ice cream tastes good, and there's lots of downsides. And I do this thing already, although sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't, because when it gets late and I'm working on a costume at night and I just need a little boost and stuff, typically I'll get a handful of Goldfish crackers. And I get the handful of Goldfish crackers because I know they can give me a little temporary pop. If I just need to be working for another half hour, 45 minutes or so, I can get a little pop. I do know that the next morning I'm going to feel it in my joints. I know that. It's not going to be terrible and it will go away, but I'm going to feel it. And I do know there's going to be a crash that comes after that because it's a simple carb. And then, you know, that's going to spike my insulin for a few moments and then it'll go down and then we'll be done. But one of the things I'm well aware of before I even go get the Goldfish crackers is, yeah, you're going to enjoy this just for a moment, but then, you know, you're not going to enjoy it afterwards. So, yeah, one upside, lots of downsides. So he says in the article, repeat this process again because one period of reflection and introspection won't be enough. I'll probably have to do it several more times before it sinks in, before my orbital frontal cortex adopts the rewards and emotions involved in not feeling bad about eating ice cream and not feeling like I'm sabotaging my health goals and fitness goals. So the idea is that when you are doing something that is probably not the greatest amount of things for you to do, that in those moments you are being reflective, you are pausing, you are thinking about it. So, and he, you know, thinks that if you do that for long enough, then the two voices will speak in unison. So my prefrontal cortex will share all the long-term benefits of eating healthy, and my orbital frontal cortex will chime in with the reasons I'm skipping the ice cream that will make me feel better in the moment. In emotional intelligence term, my emotions will work for me and not against me. And that is how a habit gets broken. Okay, so maybe. Because if you actually do think about it enough that the flesh can't get... In my interpretation, if you think about something long enough that the flesh actually can, doesn't get any traction with that anymore, what's going to happen is that flesh is going to turn around and find another way to get some traction. It'll just, you know. So he concludes the article by saying, try it. Say like my Inc. colleague, in names of Colin, you want to stop watching YouTube videos when you know you should be working. The next time the urge strike, don't fight it, watch a video. But don't do it mindlessly. Think about what you're watching. Is this entertaining? Do you gain any value for it? Is it more fun or rewarding or satisfying than doing something else? What do you really get out of it? Chances are not much. Do that enough times. Reflect on the actual feelings and benefits that result from a habit, and in time you'll start to make a different choice. And again, in my interpretation, the reason that happens is because you have concrete evidence in your brain that following that inclination of the flesh really doesn't cause you to be more satisfied. It really doesn't cause you to be more entertained. It really doesn't cause you to have any more fullness in life. And when your flesh then pushes against you, you can recall and say, yeah, but I did that and it wasn't that great. It just wasn't that great. And that's what he would call that both systems are getting synced together. What's interesting to me about this is that it is so similar to flesh and spirit. There's a few, I think, critical differences between the two, but it is so similar to flesh and spirit. And whereas in the past, I was talking to a psychiatrist, I can't remember. So I won't say any names because I can't remember. And he had read my book, Still Whispers, and he was talking about, so are you saying that we're two people inside? And I said, well, I don't know exactly. He said, are you saying we're schizophrenic? I'm saying, no. I said, we're not schizophrenic. We just have two different voices speaking to us. He had a really hard time with that because he couldn't get the whole multiple voices talking to us internally and that they weren't integrated and that sort of thing. But in fact, in this article, it talks about neuroscience and it talks about the fact that we do have these different areas of our brain that are competing for our attention and competing for our action. So maybe there is some biological basis, you know, for all of this. And maybe it isn't just strictly spirit. I don't know. All I know is that it seems more useful. It seems more useful to me to be able to image it that way, where we have an enemy that we are working against and we are attempting to find victory over what that enemy is doing. So it's just pretty interesting. At least it's interesting to me. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it to the church. I'll go home later. Have a great weekend.